according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
I'm not sure how many of you were aware that at the end of March of this year, my now husband, Justin, and I went to Mérida, Mexico, on the Yucatán Peninsula for our honeymoon. Panuchos, guayaberas, Mayan customs, magnificent ruins. We were immersed in a different culture and at times a different language other than English and Spanish. Experiencing so many sights and sounds. And of course, all the touristy things. Like going to Chichen Itza to see the most well-preserved of all of the Mayan temple complexes. While walking on the dusty paths of this World Heritage site, we were wooed to the many souvenirs of one vendor who had many things to offer. But what drew me to his post was this gorgeous obsidian. It's what he told me, his obsidian domino set. He reminded me of a set similar to the one my grandfather had, tucked away in his arm, ready to play with his grandchildren every time he came to visit. Ernesto was his name, and of all the things he loved in this world, more than my grandmother, more than my mother, and more than his grandchildren, was solitude. My father used to joke around about how long Ernesto would be at the family reunion before he would look at his watch and say, well, it's time to go. You could cook a cup of noodles in that time. That's how close it was. I remember one day, as my mother was preparing beans and my father was turning on the charcoals for the grill. This was Father's Day. My grandfather decided to take a seat right next to me and whip out his dominoes. I was beyond the moon. My abuelo wanted to play dominoes with me. And of course, I was the best champion in the world. That's according to what I thought. I took my dominoes, and then I began to scheme in my mind. How was I going to beat my grandfather today? So what do you think of your pastor? Was he the undefeated champ of the Rodriguez Chapa household? Or did his grandfather take it easy on him because he loved him and he was highly favored? If you answered no, you're correct. For all the shortcomings of my grandfather in not being present for a good deal of my life, he still wanted to teach me a lesson. To show me what it means to not just win and lose, but how to still be a beloved child of God in all of this. So that whenever I think about God or I pray to God, I think of God as a grandparent, embracing me for who I am, reminding me of some important truths about what it means to be a Christian. Now, if I were to tell you that of all the insights that Jesus proclaimed during his ministry, it was his unique relationship to God as his heavenly parent that was the most unique. You would probably say, of course, Pastor, yes. Who else among the teachers of Jesus' time thought that they and their believers would have direct access to God as a parent has to their children? More believers then, and I would dare say, now, Perceive God to be the bearded man in the sky. See, for believers in Jesus' time, this bearded God would be called the Father, after the Greco-Roman institution of the pater familias, which was the patriarchal head of an extended family, including slaves and all kinds of business associates and the like. Yet when Jesus called God Father, he meant, and this is the word he used, Abba. Not Abba the band. Abba, which means dear, tender Father, beloved Father. Jesus' relationship with God so stood out amongst the crowd that even his own disciples, whoever wrote John's Gospel decades later, would see in Jesus the heart of the Father. In the life and death and resurrection of Jesus, we all have access to this heavenly Father, this heavenly parent. This is what he taught his disciples while they dined on the night in which he was betrayed. For many of us who have attended the more recent CTK funerals, you heard this relationship clearly at the reading of one of our most beloved passages given throughout funerals to help grieving hearts. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places, many mansions, that's another translation. God, our beloved parent, has prepared for each of us a place among God's many children. And this is what Jesus wanted to show us, that all of us are God's children, and we all belong together. That's the truth of the gospel. And the Spirit takes this truth and applies it to every curve of our body, to the many people we call friends and neighbors and family, and to places like this, like Christ the King. Places that we consider to be our spiritual home. But what is truth today? To riff on Pilate's question to Jesus, what is truth? What is truth today? Is truth something that I can see with my eyes because it's right in front of me, or it's on the phone, or it's on TikTok? Is truth factual? Or is it true because I say it's true? Sort of like a circular logic. I think we're beyond a crisis of truth in this country. I think we're among something more troubling. Something where might and power and money define what is true in society. And that if any of us ever want to challenge any narratives, and particularly the narrative I'm thinking of is the one where we think that our immigrant brothers and sisters are lawless because of their citizenship status, we are perceived as challenging the truths of immigration policy. We see this connection of truth with power in the various ways that people are being targeted and detained. We are seeing this unfold through many major cities in our country, but especially in Los Angeles. But this war on truth has always been here in this country. It was connected to the founding sin of our nation, that of slavery. And as Lutheran Christians, our tradition gives us the tools to interpret this time. We are in a Bonhoeffer moment, a time to confess the truth, that no person in this world is to be discriminated against for who they are, for who they love, and for how they got here. That all of us have Jesus as our brother and God as our parent. Every time all of us remember our baptism, be it at this font or around any body of water, or even when you wake up and go to the shower, God meets us there. And God reminds us that not only are we beloved children of God, united with Christ, but and, this is a big and, we are joined to other people. regardless of their faith, regardless of who they are, because we are familia. And if we are familia, then we need each other. And the water is a way for us to hear this truth that the Spirit is speaking to the church today, that there is a place for you and you, all of you, anywhere in this country, city, or state, you have a place here. Let nobody take that away from you. So how is the Spirit speaking that truth through you? There's not a day that doesn't go by that I don't miss my grandfather. And it's not because I eventually beat him at dominoes the last time I saw him. Nor is it because my mother says that when I shave, I look a lot like him, and my mannerisms are a carbon copy of Ernesto. It's because he taught me to speak truth. That though I make many mistakes, and though some of our migrant siblings have entered unauthorized in this country, we have a heavenly parent who says we have a place here and now. That is the truth so misunderstood today. But now is the time, siblings, to speak and act from this truth of God's love. Listen to the waters of your baptism. There the Spirit is speaking to the world through you. What does this world need to hear?